And a very happy Wednesday morning, everybody. Wednesday, January 4th, 2023. It's Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast, brought to you by The Snood Factory. www.thesnoodfactory.com. Tom Drake here. Who else would it be? We are in St. George's, Grenada. And hold on. Yes, that is the duck. I don't know how to take this, but you know, I thought the last two podcasts that I presented were two of my best. There were lots of information. I was full of passion, and all people want to know by email and messages, hey, what happened to the duck? We haven't heard from the duck in 2 days. I don't know what to say about that. Cue the music. There you go. Well, here's what that's about. By the way, if you're first-time listeners to this podcast, I am a stand-up comedian on cruise ships for almost 30 years, and I present what's happening in the cruise and travel news every day. I should say the cruise and travel news industry every day, Monday through Saturday, and it's about to go on to a platform called the Podcast Playground, which has very, very wide distribution and offers all kinds of podcasts, like the Michelle Obama podcast. So I'll be on this same platform as Michelle Obama. My friends will probably not talk to me. I thought maybe I'm going to have to work on my production value because it was a little much, you know, amateur hour. Not me. I'm very intelligent and very professional, but I don't have a lot of production value. So maybe you'll hear that from time to time, the breaking news, like they do on all the networks when it's not really breaking. They're just breaking our chops by playing it all the time. Where the hell am I? I'm in St. George's, Grenada, not Granada. Although, I looked this up because that's what I do these days. They're pretty sure Grenada came from Granada, that the Spanish sailors that came here didn't know what to call it, and so they didn't call it Granada because Granada was already taken, so they called it Grenada. Thankfully, well, I don't know, because, you know, every ship singer sings Granada and not Grenada, but in any case. This is also the island, one of the islands that Ronald Reagan's army invaded way back in 1983. To do a joke about that. I mean, not really a fair fight. The United States military against Grenada, paratroopers coming in by a parachute, dropping into the Club Med, and people going, do we have enough food for these people? By the way, and this wouldn't be a shock to anybody, as I was researching it, a lot of people didn't agree with that. No surprise. The reason for the invasion, there were 600 American medical students here in the island, and Ronald Reagan, well, he wanted to protect them. So he sent in the Rangers and the 82nd Airborne and guess what? Some people weren't upset, including at that time the mayor of Burlington, Vermont, our good friend Bernie Sanders. He marked on Washington. He was upset. He also received support from Jesse Jackson. You know, history just repeats itself over and over again. But no matter what the critics said, they went in and got the students. At first, the students said, we didn't feel unsafe. And then they said, they did feel unsafe. Who really knows? Let's get to the putt. Yeah, there he is. The duck is back. Are you happy? There's the duck. I thought about bringing his whole family in because they actually have been complaining that their father is not getting enough airtime. Okay, this is a follow-up, I guess. I should have follow-up music. I mentioned, I believe it was on Monday, or it might have been on Friday, that Judge Beth Bloom in Miami ruled that Norwegian Cruise Line, and I incorrectly gave you the amount incorrectly, would have to pay $110 million in damages to Havana Docks. It was actually $109 million in damages because it was their share of $440 million in damages that this judge has decided that Cruise Line should pay to the grandson of a guy who once held the lease on docks in Havana, and under the Helms-Burton law, they broke a law that was written in 1996. It's just a giant mess. And initially, the cruise lines laughed it off, and now they go, you gotta be kidding me. And the article I read this morning is, I guess they all plan on appealing the judge's ruling. I don't know. I mean, the law is pretty clear. You're not allowed to deal in confiscated assets in Cuba. And according to the history and the law, these docks were confiscated by Castro and the grandfather of this guy who lives in California, didn't even live in Florida, who lives in California, was, what's the word? Not defrauded. out and he was damaged by this? Because back in 1958, they took away his grandfather's docks, and now the cruise lines, how dare they, went in there and used the docks? They didn't know that. They had no idea when they were going in there. They're violating some law that Jesse Helms put in 1996, and now they're staring at $440 million in fines, and it gets even deeper now because of this. And get ready for this. They are going to blame Donald Trump, because after the law was passed in 1996, every president suspended this part of the law. It's the Libertad Act. They all suspended it. And for whatever reason, Donald Trump didn't. And that opened the door for this lawsuit. And it is not just the cruise lines. Maersk Shipping, Seaboard Marine, Texaco, Marriott, major corporations are all being sued under this law. And this grandson, he won like the lottery without buying a ticket, thanks to Judge Beth Bloom. I don't know. We'll see what happens. They're going to appeal it. Maybe they'll find a loophole. Who knows? He wouldn't take less. I know NCL, I read where NCL was trying to negotiate. You know, will you take $20 million? Uh-uh. No, he wants the whole ball of wax. This guy could end up a billionaire because his grandfather owned some broken down docks in Havana in 1958. I don't know about our legal system. I really don't. All right, last week in the podcast, I was teeing off on China and the fact that we're opening our borders to people coming from mainland China and Hong Kong and Macau, and we're only requiring a negative COVID test, and I think that's just stupid. Italy is testing them when they arrive. Japan's testing them. Taiwan's testing them. I think that's the safe thing to do, especially because now we're hearing the experts, the health experts say we should put our masks back on to protect ourselves from these from the Chinese people coming in. We're supposed to make an effort to, no, the hell with that. Anyway, this came out yesterday from Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings. They will have enhanced screening for all guests, not just guests from China, people that have been to China. I don't know why, but if you've gone to China and you come back and you want to cruise on an NCL ship, I assume that's the Norwegian Cruise Line and also Oceania and region, what will happen is, in order to cruise on any of those ships between January 5th and January 30th at the moment, they require that you will have a negative COVID test when you arrive, and when you arrive, you will be tested when you arrive, and then also you'll be tested on board every 48 hours until then 10 days have passed from the last time that you're in China, Hong Kong, or Macau. Let me be clear on that. So you arrive at the dock, you're going to get on one of the NCL or Oceania region ships. You must have the negative COVID test. Once you get there, they're going to test you. And then they're going to test you every 48 hours until 10 days. It's been 10 days since you were in China. And you're going to pay for it. This is not on the cruise lines anymore. It's over. You'll pay $99 per test. Hopefully that'll discourage people for the time being to take a cruise. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I think that's what should happen. But so figure if you come from China, you want to go on the cruise, it's in 10 days, so it's going to cost you another $500-$600 a person to be tested, plus you'll have to have the negative COVID test before you arrive. Now, I don't know how many people are rushing from Hong Kong, mainland China, or Macau to cruise here, but it is a follow the leader business, so I wouldn't be surprised to see other cruise lines now following the leader and saying, you know what, we're doing the same thing, because they don't need this. They really don't, because most cruise lines now have lifted the vaccination requirements, and I've said this during my video updates, and now I'll say it during the podcast. There are optics in this business, and here's the problem with the unvaccinated, as I understand it. I'm not a health expert. I'm not your next expert in anything, but if you're vaccinated, you have a better chance of doing well if you get it. I got it, my wife got it, other people have gotten it four times, they're all vaccinated, and it was like the common flu, a little bit more difficult, it wasn't so bad. I had a cough, I didn't have a big cough, I had a small cough. But if you're not vaccinated, it's a lot different. And now people that are not vaccinated are allowed on cruise ships. So all it's gonna take is one death from COVID, from the unvaccinated, and all hell breaks loose. And here we go again. The media is going to climb all over that. And look what's going on. It's a floating Petri dish. Hey, hey. Because the unvaccinated are more at risk. So I read. Now you read, you watch, you figure it out. But that's what I hear, and that's what I read. But maybe, you know, I don't say that this is anything more than, you know, me ranting and raving. That's what this is. And I'm excited about being on the podcast. I'm on the same platform as Michelle Obama. Oh, baby, maybe I can turn it into some $70 million Netflix deal. Not much chance. I saw this story, and I'm like, I could care less about this. I saw this story that Ambassador Cruise Line, the European English-based cruise line, a ship that was called the Ambiance, had to go into dry dock to be fixed because their lifeboat systems weren't working. That's kind of important. If they come and do a test and your lifeboat doesn't work, you're not going anywhere. Trust me. At least not with passengers or guests or fresh meat. You're not leaving. I live this. I lived this about 25 years ago, maybe 23 years ago in Miami. I was on a ship and one of the lifeboats dropped in the water. The U.S. Coast Guard was testing the ship, going through the whole test, very rigorous, and they have to swing all the lifeboats out, and they swung one out and it dropped right in the water. You're not going anywhere. And so the ship couldn't sail. The guests stayed overnight. Luckily, they were able to fix it in time. The Coast Guard came back. And in fact, I never forget it. You know, at that time, I wouldn't have done this, but this is the previous owners of NCL. We're going back to our old friend, Lim Kok Dai. When they thought it was ready to be swung out again, they brought 20 guys from the kitchen and had them get in the lifeboat so they'd have to wait. And I'm going, don't you have like bags of flour? Are you serious? So, and I wrote a joke about it because they swung the lifeboat out. It didn't drop down. And I said the reason they used all the cooks is they figured we weren't sailing anyway. If the ship dropped down, we didn't need them. Luckily, they didn't drop, and we ended up sailing. Anyway, the Ambiance went into dry dock. Why would I care? But I looked at the history of this ship, and I realized it used to be the Regal Princess. And I actually sailed this ship. It was the sister to the Crown Princess. And I sailed it from South Korea to Vladivostok, Russia, and to Anchorage, Alaska. And I remember arriving, it was in May. We arrived in Anchorage, Alaska in May, and it was snowing. It was snowing like hell. And all the Filipinos think the greatest thing in the world, but we didn't have snow shovels on board. So they had brooms trying to get the snow off the deck, and like, what are we doing here? This is a cruise ship. We shouldn't be here. So it was the Regal, you know, because these older ships, Europeans will sail on older ships, old ships, right? Americans, they don't like that. They like it all to be really brand new, or it better look brand new. Like this ship was built, I'm on now, was built in 1999, but it just had a $50 million refurbishment, reimage, whatever. It looks absolutely gorgeous. But these older ships, they repaint them. Here we go. So the Regal Princess sailed for Princess. Then it went to P&O, where it was the Pacific Dawn. And I used to do a joke about the P&O cruises way back when, because, you know, in the days of the beginnings of Australia, they used to send all, Great Britain would send all their prisoners to Australia. And then later on, they just sent their prison ships. But enough about P&O. So the Regal Princess, because it's a ship without a lot of balconies and it looks old, it became the Pacific Dawn. And then it was sold in 2020. They dropped it during the pandemic, and it was sold to a company. They renamed it the Satoshi. The Satoshi. I don't know why, because it was going to be in Panama. It was supposed to be a hotel in the Gulf of Panama, and that deal didn't they didn't know what to do. So they resold it to Ambassador Cruise Line. It is now the flagship of the Ambassador Cruise Line, and it's going to start sailing again. It was built way back when, in 91? 2011? It's old, and it's still out there. And the only reason I talked about it is because I wanted to get the snow on the deck line, because that really happened. Lim Kok Dai. You know, if you're first-time listeners to this amazing, groundbreaking podcast that will also be on the same podcast platform as the Michelle Obama podcast and many, many other very famous people. Lim Kok Dai was the chairman of Genting Hong Kong, and at one time they were a minor force in the cruise industry, and now they're a force in the casino industry, and they're a hemorrhoid in the cruise industry. So, anyway, one one of the ships, he had three cruise lines at one time, the Crystal Cruises, Dream Cruises, and Star Cruises. You know all that. They all went bankrupt, and now they're all controlled by a bankrupt trustees, people in charge. And one of the ships called the World Dream, which was only built 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, is sitting in a wet dock, what they call a wet dock, because it's a, nobody wants it, and it's up for auction. And they were supposed to, if you wanted to bid on this, you're supposed to put the bids in by December 21st, and nobody bid on it. The only person or entity that bid on it was the bank that has the loan, because what Limcock Day did, he actually sold them, released them. He didn't own them anyway. He was leasing them from banks. And you know, this guy's a multi-billionaire, so they thought, hey, he's good for it. You know, little did they know. So now the only person or entity that bid on it was the bank, and no one wanted it. And Princess said, "No, we didn't bid. Nobody wants it. It's not that old, but you know what? There's a lot of new ships coming out. There's a lot of ships in the water. Do you want somebody else's headache?" But the bank had a bid on it to keep them from giving it away, because the job of the trustee is to get as much money as he can for the assets. And if no one wants to bid on it, then he's going to have to find another way to get rid of it. And you know who's going to buy it? This is how sick this is. Limcock Day. He's just sitting around like a vulture waiting to pick at the, you know, the carcass of the company that he used to run. Unbelievable. Same kind of story. Today is all about, this industry is really right now looking up, looking around going, man, we have a lot of ships, we have a lot of pillows, and we need a lot of customers and guests or fresh meat. And here's another one. The former Sea Princess. And I sailed on this because I work for Princess now almost 27 years. Don't ask me why. They've seen the act, but they still keep booking me. The former Sea Princess has been sold to another new Chinese owner. It was sold during the pandemic to one company, and that company decided to sell it to another company because they decided, we're not going to get into this business right now. We're not going to get into it because they're looking to the price of fuel, everything, and everybody. The competition is just crazy. So the Sea Princess, it was known actually when they bought it, and the company that bought it is an Asian name I can't pronounce. When they bought it was built in 1998. Here we go again. So it's older, and it was renamed the Charming. It was going to sail at the Charming as Charming, and it went through dry dock, and it was supposed to be operated by V ships. But then they decided, you know what? We're looking at this market, and it's not very charming, so we're not going. So it's been resold to another company that's going to probably sit there and go, you know what? Maybe we won't do this either. And also, the inaugural voyage of the Compagnie Française de Courses Renaissance. I can't tell. This is a French cruise line. Their name is a mile long. It's longer than the Normandy or whatever. I don't know why they don't make it just CFC. But anyway, they're one of their brand new ship being built, the Renaissance. Okay, I take it back. It wasn't being built. It's the former Mazdam. Again, this podcast is all about the fact that Europe saves old cruise ships because the Europeans will sail on them. And the Americans are like, where's the brand new one? I'm going on the Vista. You on the Vista yet? I'm going on this one. I'm going on the Grandeur. I'm going on that one. In Europe, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. So the former Mazdam, great ship. I worked for Holland America for a long time, too. And the Mazdam and the Veendam and the Stottendam and the Rhinedam, they're only 1,100, maybe 1,050 guests. Beautiful ships. It was sold. It was sold during the pandemic to that French cruise line, and they renamed it the Renaissance. And it was supposed to sail in February, and now it's not going to sail until mid-May. And you know why? Supply chain issues. Yes, indeed. The old-fashioned. They can't get parts from Asia, according to what I'm reading here in the cruise industry news. So that's a lot of old ships. They have a second life. Is that the right word? They live. Oh, you're right. The duck is right. The stories today are shaky at best. And believe me, I spent hours trying to find something not as shaky. These are as shaky as my hands after a big night upstairs in Horizons. So we'll get out of here. And once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for the messages. There's the duck again. Everybody happy? I can't tell you how many emails I got or messages. Where's the duck? I'm going to bring the Ducks whole family tomorrow and some more breaking news. And I'll let you know when it's up on the podcast playground, right along with, there isn't anything travel related on this podcast playground. There's every podcast known to man, including Michelle Obama's podcast and Michael, but there's nothing about travel. So I'm hoping that it'll catch on with some production music and some good stories and some anecdotes. You know, I think the idea that I was on the Regal Princess sailing to Alaska and the poor Filipinos were trying to get rid of the snow using brooms, that's what's known as anecdotal in the podcast. And boy, I started to look at how many podcasts there are. I don't stand a chance. Everybody in their mother has a, and people's mothers that aren't even alive have podcasts now. It's unbelievable. So maybe it'll catch on. If not, thanks to everybody that sends me the stories and checks on me and wants to ask for the duck. Have a good hump day. I'll see you tomorrow from Bonaire. I know where I am tomorrow, in Bonaire. See you.